Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I am Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, and Davy Crockett. I'm Lee and Abe Lincoln. I remember the Alamo, the Maine, and Pearl Harbor. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead in Flanders fields and in the steaming jungles of Vietnam. I am the Brooklyn Bridge, the wheatlands of Kansas, and the granite hills of Vermont. I am the coal fields of the Virginias and Pennsylvania, the fertile lands of the West, the Golden Gate and Grand Canyon. I sprawl from the Atlantic to the Pacific. 3 million square miles. I'm more than 3 million farms. I'm forest, field, mountain, and desert. I'm quiet villages, and I'm cities that never sleep. You can look at me and see Ben Franklin walking down the streets of Philadelphia. I'm Babe Ruth in the World Series. I'm 130,000 schools and colleges and 326,000 churches where my people worship God as they please. I'm a ballot dropped in a box. I am an editorial in a newspaper. And I'm a letter to a congressman. I'm Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein. I'm Horace Greeley, Will Rogers, and the Wright brothers. I'm George Washington Carver, Daniel Webster, and Jonas Salk. I'm Walt Whitman, Thomas Paine, Tom Sawyer, and Walt Disney. Yes, I am the nation, and these are the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, in freedom I'll spend the rest of my days. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled, to remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the entire world. I am the nation.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Patriot Education. My name is Terry Rowland, and I'll be your hostess for this evening. And as always, we are brought to you through the good offices of www.patriotfamilies.com. A group of people who firmly believe in the principles of our founders and understand that, yes, we are the nation. It is our ideas, our concerns, our thoughts and opinions that move this nation along its path to remain that beacon of hope for the whole world. Tonight's topic, ladies and gentlemen, is reality versus educational goals. Our children equal human resources. Last night, my friend Linda from California did her show right from the left coast, and she was talking about Agenda 21. She was also talking about the effect that it has on our lives, so subtle and so pervasive that most Americans aren't paying attention. My topic tonight is directly related to what my friend Linda was talking about yesterday. The values that our children are being indoctrinated with in our public schools, not only with the potentials of Common Core, but with the current state of educational theory, are furthering the goals of Agenda 21. Agenda 21, like our education system, sees human beings as a festering sore on the beautiful, sentient Earth Gaia. We, humanity, are worthless excrescences that damage the planet and kill off the animals and the fish and the waters and the air, and all of us need to be reined in by a benevolent government so that we cannot continue to reproduce or use the resources of Gaia for our own comfort, safety, or advancement. In a sense, that is exactly what the current educational system is doing with your kids. There was an article that I read, and I do not have it in front of me, so I can't quote it exactly, but it talked about the presentation by a businessman to the legislature in Wisconsin regarding Common Core. And this businessman's reasons for supporting Common Core and quote-unquote selling it to the legislators was that it would prepare our children to find their place in business. This wonderful public-private partnership that the current far-left idiots in control of the Senate and the White House are shoving down our throats is nothing more nor less, ladies and gentlemen, than the old recycled Nazi socialism and Italian fascism. The idea that government is God, and that we, as children of government, are also gods, provided we submit ourselves to the overarching care of that benevolent, godlike government. Public-private partnership, in the eyes of liberals, Marxists, and fascists, means that government controls markets. Government tells business what it can and cannot do, not just in its regulations to maintain ethical standards for both its dealings, financial, and its dealings, human, but states and determines how much a business can make and how that money, that's profit, if there is any, should be used to further the Agenda 21 goals of preserving the sentient planet and grooming the excrescences of humanity to serve Gaia in all ways and at all times. Common Core is intended, according to the liberals who promote it, to make sure that there is a national standard for learning. This sounds really, really, really good. We are used to standards. I've talked about that on this program before. We expect every ruler in the child's classroom to measure centimeters and inches correctly. We expect a pound of coffee to be 16 ounces worth of coffee in every store where we purchase it. We expect a mile to be 5,280 feet. We expect a meter to be 39.36 inches. I may be off by a hundredth of an inch or so, but you get the idea. We like the idea that there are standards. We want to know for sure that we are, quote-unquote, getting what we are paying for, the exact amount that we have bought, or the exact distance we have traveled, or the exact value of something that we own or wish to sell. So the Agenda 21 fanatics who currently inhabit our legislature, both state and national, and our White House, are using the standards of Common Core in the way they always do to appeal to our emotional response of, oh goody, we have standards, that means everybody's going to measure up. Well, the two things don't match. First of all, you can standardize something like a tire size or a pipe wrench or a ruler. But human beings are very difficult to standardize, ladies and gentlemen. They are not machines. They are not members of the Borg Collective, at least not yet. And standards for human beings don't mean the same thing as they do for a ruler or a tire size or a pipe wrench. The standards of education are not about what you're supposed to know at the end of fourth grade. The standards of education are, do you give your children the opportunity to learn more today than they knew yesterday and hopefully remember it tomorrow? It's just as basic as that, ladies and gentlemen. That's what education is. It is the opening of doors for minds. It is the presentation of skills, both academic and physical, that will give your child the tools he or she needs to succeed in whatever life path he or she chooses. it's not about all the textbooks measuring 8.5 by 11 so a piece of notebook paper fits in them correctly, or they can be put in a binder and save money for textbook manufacturers. It isn't about how tall the basketball hoop is or how much you're supposed to weigh based on your body mass index. Human minds do not easily fit into objective standards. Every single one of you listening to me out there tonight, and my friends in the chat room, by the way, hello Bill, hi Mike, hi Linda, hi Nick, glad you're all here tonight. Every single one of us has an individual mind, heart, and soul. We react to our world in individual and unique ways. The things that stick in our minds and our hearts are unique to each of us. We have unique talents and skills. We process information uniquely. There are certain neurological standards that we can measure in the human body. We can tell whether or not, for example, nerve impulses are traveling along their correct pathways to allow our brain to tell our legs to move. And when those nerve impulses aren't traveling correctly, are blocked, stopped, interfered with, or scrambled, we can see that our legs are not moving the way they are designed to do. Unfortunately, we do not have a microscope that can look into a mind, or a heart, or a soul. We are not mechanical constructs, and neither are our children. Common Core and educational theory currently believe and treat our kids as if they were mechanical constructs, as if measuring their blood pressure, heart rate, and temperature during learning is somehow or other going to determine how we program their minds. And that's what Common Core wants to do, ladies and gentlemen. Not teach, not encourage learning, not create lifelong learners, but program your children to fit into the niche in the collective that benevolent government decides they should fill. I have referenced a young adult novel, a children's book, many times on this show. Several of them, in effect. The one that I'm thinking of right now is a novel called A Wrinkle in Time by a woman named Madeline L'Engle. The story is about a group of children who are called on to a rescue mission to bring back the lost father of two of them. And in the process of their mission, they visit a world called Kamazots. And in that world, everyone pulses to the same rhythm. The children outside playing in front of their homes bounce a ball in exact synchronicity. They walk into their houses at the exact same moment. Their mothers open the door for them at the exact same moment. Everybody going to work walks at exactly the same pace. Everybody going to work carries exactly the same briefcase in exactly the same hand. And in that world, individuality is brutally rooted out. Children are reconditioned to follow the rhythm determined by central intelligence. It is this thinking pattern, ladies and gentlemen, that in spite of all of the false compassion and feel-good emotional appeals of no child left behind and collaborative classes and not labeling our children, that rhetoric is as false as the mouths from which it comes. Common Core and the educational theory of today is not about those things, no matter what they say. It is about reprogramming your child to be a functioning member of the collective, about making sure that the worship of the planet and environmental intelligence and equal distribution of wealth and social equality and income equality and sameness as the goal of the human spirit. The sad part to me, ladies and gentlemen, is that the goals of education, which we used to set up for our kids, are so terribly important to the future of not only our children and our society, but the world itself. If we teach our children that the ultimate goal that they need to reach for is melding into a collective mind, being fit into the correct niche, being exactly like everybody else, then we doom this planet and our species to a very, very quick death. The reason we are still here as a species is because we can adapt, ladies and gentlemen. Those species which cannot adapt to changing conditions die. Those species which cannot innovate and create die. And that is the underlying goal of Agenda 21. A cleansed planet with only the quote-unquote new gods being served by robot-like, genetically engineered slaves. Yes, I know it sounds like a horror movie or a dystopian novel. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is their ideal. That is what they believe in. That's why we get hammered every 20 seconds with more and more, you have to have birth control, abortion has to be available, families have to be limited, we're overpopulated, the polar ice caps are melting, the oil and gas companies are raping the planet, coal is killing us, everything that makes our lives comfortable and safe is dangerous to the progressive goal. They cannot afford individuals innovating, thinking outside the box, or examining and questioning what they are told. My friend Linda says in the chat room, why are any of these things up to the federal government? Because we have allowed it, Linda. Because, just like in Atlanta, the first time there's a disaster, we blame government for whatever it is didn't get done to put it off, prevent it, or fix it. Government didn't tell that Chick-fil-A in Alabama to go out and give people free sandwiches who were stranded on icy roads. Government didn't deliver the baby in the back of a car stranded in Atlanta either. A cop did. And yes, he's paid by government, but government did not put the ability in his mind and heart to be there and do everything he could to help someone in trouble. Our kids are being seen literally as human resources. They are being dehumanized into something no less important and no less valuable than a fish in the ocean or an oil field under a mountain. And they are going to be used and thrown away just like every other resource government gets its hands on. Their growth, their development, their ideas, their curiosity, their eagerness to learn something new is being squeezed out of them by our dependence on data-driven, standardized everything when it comes to education. Everybody who's listening tonight, and everybody in the chat room I know, can probably remember at least one teacher who opened a door for them into a world of learning they had never known existed. I had them, and I'm very sure everybody out there has had them too. And my guess is they weren't the teachers who practically genuflected every time the principal showed up and made sure that everybody's notebook matched everybody else's notebook and everybody's idea matched everybody else's idea. My friend Bill says they're creating worker clones or servants for the elite collective, and he's exactly correct. That is exactly what they are doing. And they are creating a climate in which no one is permitted to fail, at least on paper, and everyone fails as a human. It is the oxymoronic progressive mindset, ladies and gentlemen, the mechanical approach to human beings. Human beings are naturally untidy creatures. We're not nice, neat, marching in line, carrying the breadcrumbs back to the anthill. We tend to skip or jump or to rest or decide we don't like that crumb and go looking for a different one. And that's why we are basically the top of the food chain at the moment, and the ants aren't. We do not adapt to changing circumstances if we are told that we must never, ever, ever get a thought in our minds that is unsanctioned by government. Last night, Linda quoted something, a gentleman who basically stated the progressive view of themselves. We are the new gods. If anybody's ever watched or listened to the Ring Cycle operas of Wagner, this attitude isn't new. The whole point of those operas, and the reason that Hitler loved them so much, was because man was replacing the gods. Man was taking over as head of the universe. That's what Götterdämmerung is about, the twilight of the gods. Progressives have always had a problem with their god complex. They truly do believe that human beings are the end-all, be-all of evolution. And they are going to help evolution along by eliminating any quasi-human that doesn't follow their particular guiding star of godhood. They are going to do this, and they are doing it, by more and more and more control over every single thing you do. They are doing everything they can to undermine the idea of private property, which, as Linda mentioned last night, was part of the original draft of the Declaration of Independence in the section that talks about endowed with certain inalienable rights. Property, instead of the pursuit of happiness, was in Jefferson's original draft. The reason it was removed was because Jefferson and many of the others in the Continental Congress at that time, did not wish that to be construed as meaning that it was correct and proper to own human beings, since slavery existed and those beings in slavery were considered to be property. They did not want our Declaration of the Rights of Man, if you will, to include anything that could imply that it was correct or right for one human to own another. Yet government is convinced, the government we have now in the hands of the progressives who are running it, that human beings are property, property of the state. I know all of you heard that idiot woman claiming that your children belong to your community and not to you. Either view is viewing a child as your property. Our children do not belong to anybody but themselves. They are our responsibility to teach and train and care for and love and school in ethics and values, but they are not belonging to us in the sense that we own them any more they are belonging to the community in the sense that the community owns them. the concepts that our kids are being fed through things like Common Core and its determination to cut out any form of literature that allows anybody to think from English classes. This kind of thinking pattern, this kind of philosophical bent, if you will, is teaching them that the only thing that matters is the sanctity of the group. And this kind of thinking goes all the way back to the 1920s and the 1930s. It has been underneath every single quote-unquote educational reform that we have been saddled with since about 1935. The idea that human beings are resources to serve the state, and you teach them from 5 years on up that that is their purpose. It's been tried over and over and over again, ladies and gentlemen. And it inevitably fails, quite often, in violence and blood. Because human beings are not machines. We are not programmable, microchip-endowed computing bodies. We are living, breathing children of God. If we belong to anyone, we belong to God, not government, not the community, and not even our mom and dad. The difference between belonging to and belonging with. My friend Mike indicates that we are slaves. And I understand his perception about this, that we are in involuntary servitude because we adhere to the laws that take away those things that ought to be our rights. It's more like voluntary servitude in many ways because most of us enjoy our comfort. I know I do. I am not a pioneer. I am not a rabble-rouser. I am not a revolutionary. I'm a little old lady who's worked in education for a very long time. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I am ineffectual, unimportant, worthless, useless, or just a resource to be thrown away because I'm no longer amenable to whatever it is I'm told. I cannot stop this avalanche of progressive manipulation alone. No one can. We aren't gods, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what? No, we can't stand on a mountaintop and cause the waters to still and blast all those evil minions of whatever it is we think of as the satanic side into dust merely with the power of our individual godness. What we are flawed living beings who can only try to do what is right instead of always what is easy. I do not understand the kind of mind that finds progressive goals admirable. Not with a empathetic understanding at any rate. I value individuality. I value the fact that I am unique, as is every other person with whom I have any kind of dealings. Doesn't mean I always agree with everybody else. It doesn't mean that I don't lose my temper or get annoyed or frustrated or lose my patience with willful ignorance. I do all those things because I am not a god. I'm an ordinary, flawed human woman. I make mistakes. But I try to learn from them. Unfortunately, Our children are being told that they are not going to be given the chance to make a mistake because mistakes make them feel bad. And when you make somebody feel bad, that's almost as bad as actually murdering them. So we are teaching our kids that no one has any personal responsibility for what they do. We're teaching them that the fact that they didn't study or they didn't take their books home or they forgot there was a test, that's okay. It's somebody else's fault. Somebody should have walked them to the door and double-checked their backpack to make sure they had their book in it. Or somebody should have pulled them out of class for special study time because it was hard for them. Or somebody in the classroom talked and they listened instead of finishing their test, so it's that other person's fault. It's the mindset of the society that opens the door for the kind of slavery that Mike's talking about. The minute you start blaming everybody else for your problems and your bad choices, you fall right into the progressive's laps. Because they will tell you that, oh, it wasn't your fault. If you just let government take over for you, you wouldn't have had that problem. Do you remember the Julia advertising? How government saved Julia from everything and got her a job and a house and took care of her children and babysat them and made sure she had a working, a living wage and eased her through her whole life and took care of her in her old age. Government was mummy and daddy and God. Our kids are being taught this. Mike's talking also in the chat room about the amnesty for illegal immigrants. And every single time that comes up, anybody who stands up and says, no, that's wrong, is immediately vilified as hating everybody who happens to be from somewhere other than here. Because standards in the progressive mind don't mean moral standards or ethical standards or right and wrong. They mean government standards. The measuring stick, again. There is no right or wrong. There is only communication we don't understand, to paraphrase one of our special education department heads in the school system where I work. This is the mindset, ladies and gentlemen, that we deal with in our public education system. No responsibility for anything because government will do it for you. I'm not responsible for my fellow man. I am not responsible for my own bad choices. I am not responsible for doing my homework or not doing it. Somebody else is. Why Occupy Wall Street and the college students bitching and complaining about having to actually pay back the money they borrowed for their education surprised anybody? I'll never know. Probably because very few people have paid any attention to what our kids have been taught for the last 30 years. The entitlement, professional victim ideology that has been perpetuated through our public education system has opened the door for every other ill that Agenda 21 and the progressive view of man as God, them, not anybody else, wants to achieve. We are telling our children that they need to sacrifice freedom for safety and comfort and a pat on the back and a nice tasty dog biscuit at the end of their working day. The sad part, over and above the anger part, is that the kids are not, I won't say they're impervious to conditioning, because they're not. Nobody is. If you condition any human being long enough with deprivation and every other kind of psychological tool, eventually they will do what they are told. Everybody has a breaking point. But our kids do fight this kind of thing. That's one of the reasons we hear about so much disruption and discipline problem and so on and so forth. Because of the professional victim attitude, they're going to act out. Kids do. They are not mature. They are not adults. They don't act, think, reason, or solve problems like adults. They act like kids. And the progressive educational philosophy ignores that, while spending words and babble to say how much they just love the little kitties and they want them to be happy and comfy in school and safe and all those wonderful things. Chuck, 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 under the sin, here, have a lollipop. The kids are kids, ladies and gentlemen. They need guidance from adults because they don't have the life experience or the mental or emotional maturity to make good decisions totally on their own. They have to be taught and they have to be guided into understanding what it means to make a choice. And that if you freely choose a particular thing, a particular act, a particular path, then you take both the good and the bad on that path. And if the path contains more bad than good, you learn how to change the path and go in a different direction. My friend Mike says that the state says parents are inept, and he's correct. The state does. The state doesn't believe that human adults capable of breeding are fit to teach and raise human infants to adulthood. Because the state knows exactly what your child should be, do, think, and say, and you don't. I'm not saying that all parents are wise and good parents. That would be just as illogical as saying all puppy dogs are brown. Some people make terrible parents. Some people make okay parents. And some people make absolutely fabulous parents. And every single set of people who are parents are human, and they're going to make mistakes. They're not going to be perfect any more than their children are. But if they are parents, they have chosen to produce life in this world. And because they have made the choice, they are responsible for the life they have engendered. Progressives do not want parents to believe that they are responsible for their children, because then the state would not have as much firm ground to stand on. It couldn't point to all of the poor, abused, underfed, underloved, underclothed kids in the ghetto and say, see there, look at that, we need to go in and fix this. We need to go in and take these kids away from these awful parents and these awful environments and do something in school to make them into the intellectual, emotional, and physical equal of a rich kid from a suburb of Boston or something. It's the eugenics approach, but it's masked by all this quasi-compassion that they spout all over the place. The sad truth, ladies and gentlemen, is that some people are going to be stupid, and some people are going to be smart, and most people are going to be somewhere in the middle of those two extremes. unlike the world of Harrison Bergeron, another short story, if you've not read it, or if you weren't listening when I read it out loud last year, making someone who is athletic and strong wear weights so he can't run faster than everybody else, or putting earbuds in his ears to disrupt his thinking patterns so he can't be smarter than anybody else, is not going to create a world I want to live in. It's going to kill the one we have, which, of course, would please progressives, because then they can sweep it clean of humanity and have their own little enclaves and a beautiful, pristine, holy Gaia serviced by robotic slaves who have been cloned to be trusting and obedient and mute. They do everything they can, ladies and gentlemen, to bring this about. And unfortunately, they are succeeding, at least on the surface. But nothing in this first grade of human existence, nothing in this life as we know it, is set in stone. Not with human beings, it isn't. Human beings, that nasty excrescence that stifles holy Gaia, have remained to do that because we do adapt and we do change things to make our environment comfortable for ourselves. And generally, we figure out ways to adapt that do not destroy the planet, in spite of the progressives. Just like the old story about the wise man when approached by the people of the village, who said that there was going to be a huge inundation of water and the village would be drowned, and what should they do? And he said, I would summon our wisest men and figure out a way to live underwater. Human beings do that kind of thing. And they do that because we have a built-in part of us that doesn't easily give up that innate individuality with which we are born. There are always cockleburrs, ladies and gentlemen, who wedge themselves underneath the saddle of government. There always will be. But for those of us who spend our time being cockleburrs, it seems we're never going to be able to unseat the government rider. We may not, in our individual lifetime, I may not see things change for the better. But I'm pretty sure that a black slave in Georgia in 1848 probably didn't think he was going to live to see things change for the better, and he was right. But they did. Americans, by their very nature, because we are a pioneer society in the way we look at life and the world, look for instant. We want it fixed now. Technology, with all its developments, has created instant for us in just about everything we do. It hasn't yet figured out how to grow a baby in 25 seconds, or raise a plant to maturity in 10 minutes so you can have fresh tomatoes every time you push the button. But I'm sure they're working on it. It's that need to have instant fix that quite often, coupled with our desire to be comfortable, shakes us from the tree branch right into the progressive lapse, because they always promise we can fix that right away. Just let us take away one more of your freedoms and we'll have everything just fine. Just let us eliminate one more possible choice from your life and everybody will be safe and happy and comfortable and equal. The goals of the educational system as they are now are totally unrealistic. Because we hear politicians and legislators and pundits talk about how everybody should have the opportunity to go to college. Everybody should be able to be comfortable and have their own home and have a vehicle to travel or public transportation so they can go anywhere they want. They should have a job that they love, or they should be compensated for whatever it is they do. They should never feel deprived. They should never ever have less than they want. Everybody has to have it all right now. And the reason they don't have it all right now is because somebody else who has it got it by doing something bad to them. Back again to the, it's never my fault, somebody else did it to me. Too many people, ladies and gentlemen, do not and will not understand that being alive is a risk. Just like loving is a risk. We are temporal beings. We are born, we live, and we die. Everybody does. If we remain sequestered in a bubble for as long as possible, still our biological components will die. Everything does. We cannot protect our children from knowing that someday their lives will end. We cannot take away every risk and then expect them to be able to fight to protect themselves and us. It's not possible. Being alive is a risk. Yes, we can minimize the risk. Yes, we can make laws and regulations that do not allow certain behaviors or acts or methods. But we cannot eliminate the possibility that those behaviors or acts or methods won't happen. We can try to codify our morality and ethics into statutes and legislation in order to preserve our society in a way that allows it to grow, produce, and mostly allow us the freedom to choose. The only way that you can be safe from all danger and away from all risk is if you are confined in a cell, fed through a slot, and never, ever, ever permitted to see anything but the walls of your cell and your food dish. And even then, there is the risk that whoever it is who pushes the food through the slot might forget for 2 or 3 years, and you're going to die anyhow. I'm not a pessimist, ladies and gentlemen, in spite of that last statement. You can't be and do what I do for a living. If you're a pessimist, don't go into teaching, folks. That's sound advice. You have to be an optimist given what you deal with every single day. But I am a realistic optimist. I do not expect government to redesign the human race so that everybody loves everybody and we all sit down in a circle and sing Kumbaya at noon every single day before we go and plow each other's fields. Our individuality precludes the success of the progressive ideology. No matter how hard they try with Common Core and stripping us of private property and herding us into cute little sustainable villages and limiting our ability to reproduce either chemically or more legislatively, we are still humans. and until and unless they manage to make hybrids, as in the Star Trek Borg Collective, we will remain humans. And that has with it individuality. Unique individuals. My friend Linda says there are far too many of us who are educated enough to push back on this crap, and she's right. Those of us who are not only educated about what's going on, but who are educated about what it means to be a human being. Being a human being isn't only about what you have or own or do. Being a human being is about what and who you are. If your child has a propensity for numbers and is doing algebraic equations at the age of 6, good for him. Give him the opportunity to develop that faculty, that skill, that ability he has. If your child picks up a crayon at 2 and creates a masterpiece, give him the opportunity to further that talent, that skill, but also expose both of those children to the ability to communicate in their native language, understand enough about numbers so that they are not ripped off and used and cheated by anybody who feels like they're too stupid to understand that 3 plus 7 doesn't make 22. Give them a knowledge of what this country was founded on and why we are a constitutional republic and what powers the various branches have. Teach them history. Teach them science so they don't mix ammonia and chlorine and, you know, gas themselves to death. Teach them to read and write and cipher. Give them what used to be a standard eighth grade education, and they will be able to learn as long as they live. Progressives do not want to produce lifelong learners, ladies and gentlemen. They cannot afford to. Because lifelong learners ask questions. Lifelong learners don't just swallow the sweet, delicious poison when the spoon is tipped into their mouth. They back off, or they smell it, or they say, wait a minute, what's in this? Progressives do not want your children to think. They want them to memorize and spout back. They want them to process information the way a computer system does. Binary system. Yes, no, on, off, high, low, good, bad, now, then, tomorrow, yesterday. They do not want your children to be human beings. They want them to be human resources. You can put a stop to this. If you go to your school board meetings, your PTA, you listen to what your children are being taught, you read their textbooks, you sit down with them and let them explain to you what was in the textbook, not just copy it onto a blank on a sheet of paper. If you're going to watch television with them, don't just make it Duck Dynasty. Take a look at other things. And if something that you see on Sci-Fi or the National Geographic Channel or PBS or whatever doesn't strike you as right, talk to your kids about it when they're hearing it. Let them see that you are a lifelong learner too. Because lifelong learners breed more lifelong learners. There is one thing that often comes out of children's mouths in classrooms that absolutely makes me want to explode like Mount Vesuvius all over them. And that is the statement, oh, but I don't have to know that. I hear it over and over and over again because the educational system is telling our kids once you've passed a standardized test, you can system dump and get rid of everything you had to know for it because the only thing that's important is the test and your performance on it. You don't have to understand any of it, and you certainly aren't going to be expected to remember it 2 weeks from now, because you don't have to know that for this test. I have heard teachers say this, ladies and gentlemen. And it is my innate dislike of a life sentence for murder that has kept me from committing one when I've heard that come out of a teacher's mouth. It's not a phrase or a statement that I was ever guilty of using to a child or when I was a child. I think probably the reason that there are students who ask me, Mrs. Rowland, can I get in trouble so I can come and spend time in ISS with you? I learned a lot there. I think the reason this has happened is because I don't pretend with my students. I don't feed them data and expect them to spit it back out as if it were one of those happy little strips from the old-fashioned ticker tape machines. And I never, ever allow them to blame somebody else for their own mistakes. I feel badly for children whose home life is disruptive, abusive, unkind, or in any way vastly uncomfortable. I wish that I were a goddess and I could automatically, with a snap of my goddess-like fingers, make their home lives palatial and beautiful and kind and loving and supportive. But I cannot. And I'm sorry, folks, but neither can government. Because we are human beings, and as human beings, we come all sorts. We come as heroes and villains, members of the mob and the sheriff standing there facing them down. And any one of us at any time in our lives can be any of those things. Because we are human. We are not programmable in the sense that progressives believe we should be, and in the sense that they believe our children must be. When you are taught that you can do no wrong, that every mistake is always somebody else's fault, where is the incentive to think before you do, or think before you speak? Where is the reason to plan or anticipate or invent or create or solve a problem or even see one? It's just not there. And that's what the current system is developing in our kids. It is creating, as my friend Bill said, clones, drones, like Mike said, people who are no longer people, who are sedated and drunken on government assistance to breathe, and taught that it is unkind, unjust, incorrect, and prejudiced to disagree and with anybody because you're not supposed to think differently than anybody else. Another oxymoron from the Agenda 21 progressive left. Diversity. They don't believe in diversity. They believe in commonality. They use buzzwords like diversity to undermine anybody's idea that there is such a thing as right or wrong. I'm sorry, It is wrong to kill your daughter because she held hands with someone who wasn't of your religion. It is wrong to mutilate your child in the name of holiness. It is wrong to force another human being into servitude against his or her will for any reason other than an act that is destructive to society or another human being. Progressives do not want your children to have any concept that there is such a thing as right or wrong. There is only correct or incorrect. Right and wrong are too laden with emotional dysfunction. Children don't need to learn about right and wrong. They need to learn about correct or incorrect, or appropriate or inappropriate. Because it sounds so much nicer than right and wrong. Because right and wrong means, you know, people won't like you. And we cannot have a child ever think that everybody isn't going to love them. Yes, we protect our children. Yes, we want to make sure they're happy. Yes, we would like to make sure that they're safe. Yes, we do not want their lives cut short or their souls damaged or their ego bruised. We love our kids. And because we do, and because we are adults, we will do anything we can to try to protect them from the ills we know exist in our world. And it is that aspect of ourselves as human beings that progressives twist and manipulate and pummel into an entirely different shape. Like in the song from The King and I, if I have allies that are strong to protect me, might they not protect me out of all I own? It is our emotional response, ladies and gentlemen, that progressives use. Everything from global warming to sustainable development to religious liberty, which doesn't really mean liberty, it just means religious ignorance and eliminating the idea of religion or spirituality, because then you might hurt somebody's feelings if you didn't perceive the divine in the same way that they did. Allies strong enough to protect me are protecting me out of all I own. Progressives do not want your children to be self-reliant, ladies and gentlemen. Because self-reliant people aren't standing there waiting to have the food chip placed in their hand before they walk into the cell and wait for the food to come through the slot. Like my friend Linda says, yeah, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody's a winner, like Mike said. It's that twisting of reality, ladies and gentlemen, and making it a laudable goal of education that sickens me every time I run into it. And I see it every single day. I do. From collaborative classes that were supposed to be inclusive so the special ed kids would feel not separated from their peers, and their peers would exhibit compassion and learn to really value how wonderful these special ed kids are. And of course, it doesn't work. And believe me, I am not in any way, shape, or form downgrading anybody who has learning or cognitive difficulties, or saying that they have no purpose or that they should be eliminated. God forbid. Each and every human life has a value to someone or something. But you cannot force people to be compassionate. Compassion is not a knee-jerk reaction to stimuli, as behaviorists and progressives would like you to believe. compassion develops through having your own bumps and bruises and pains and bad choices. If you take away all the bumps and bruises and bad choices, what you develop is a spoiled brat, not a compassionate human being. And a spoiled brat generally is only able to use one ploy to get what they want, a tantrum. And when that tantrum is stopped by a dose of cold water that half drowns them, then they figure out that, guess what, maybe I ought not to do that anymore. Government's form of tantrum stoppage is a lot more lethal than a bucket of cold water. But they're teaching our kids to be spoiled brats. They're teaching our kids that me is the most important thing, so long as me doesn't say anything bad about you, at least not where authority can hear you. The total misunderstanding of the maturation process in human beings that progressives display absolutely confounds me. It really does. To expect 12 to 14-year-olds to understand and put in practice anti-bullying compassion is absurd. It's not in their hormonal, mental, physical, emotional range. Because they are immature members of our species. Bullies will always be among us, ladies and gentlemen. Bullies do not easily respond to the kumbaya philosophy. Because bullies need to feel powerful because inside they are very small. And the only way they can feel big is by terrorizing someone who is smaller in their perception than they are. And many bullies remain bullies throughout their entire lives. My friend Linda said progressives don't use logic or facts because they're not mature beyond 13, and she's quite correct, they aren't. Their world is the world of the 13-year-old, the world that says, oh, I've got to be among with the in crowd, or at least with the cool kids, because otherwise everybody will point at me and I won't feel good, and oh, I don't like that, and I will be afraid to go to school, but I'm among the cool kids, look at me, I'm cool, I voted for Obama, I'm cool. Their vision of the world and the future is just as warped as a 13-year-old kid. No 13-year-old has the least clue that his or her life isn't going to go exactly as he or she is envisioning it at the age of 13. That's why we don't have them choose their college at that age, folks, or their major, or their job or career. Unless they are a prodigy of some sort. And even prodigies quite often burn out because they don't get to be kids. 13-year-olds believe that the future is as they envision it. And that all they have to do is tweak the right button or say the right thing to the teacher or mom or dad or tell the right lie to the guy or girl they're interested in, and the future will just fall into place. Progressives are 13-year-olds. Their view of life is that of a 13-year-old. They do not have the ability to understand that life is fluid and everything changes. They don't know how to adapt yet because they are still immature. And the stupid educational theories that are being pushed onto our kids are keeping them at that inability to adapt and immaturity. Because they are telling these kids that the world will be as they envision it at age 13. All it takes is for them to trust government, and it will happen. The world is full of the corpses of people who have trusted government to make the future perfect. My friend Linda says, kids' sense of time is very different from an adult's, and she's right, it is. Think back, if you can, to when you were 8, 9, 10 years old. The time between Christmases was so huge that you couldn't even envision next Christmas until, maybe the September before it. Summers were years long. Historical time? I can't count the number of times students have asked me, Mrs. Rowland, were you sad when you heard Lincoln had been assassinated? Or where were you when the Hindenburg blew up? Or did you fight in the Civil War? Children do not have the ability to understand time in its progression because they have not been around long enough to physically and emotionally understand it. They don't understand that sometimes you have to wait for what you want. That often you work and work and work for something and you don't get it. They are being taught to expect that they will have what they want now. And that everything that they need to learn will somehow or other automatically be put in their brains if they just show up in a classroom once or twice a week. We are creating the members of the Borg Collective in our public schools. Because of our passion for data and computerized this and measuring that and standards of this, we are slowly but surely losing our own humanity because we are swallowing the myth that human beings can be redesigned and reprogrammed by other human beings to become better as a species. We don't have to wait for evolution. We can jumpstart it. It's the mechanistic thinking pattern over and over and over again, ladies and gentlemen. One of the reasons that progressives are so in love with technology and using technology in schools is because they're more comfortable with a machine than they are with another human being. Because no matter how placating and how sweet and how compassionate they sound, they don't really like you. They have absolutely no compassion or kindness or patience or tolerance for anyone who does not buy what they are selling. If you do not jump on their happy little bandwagon toward progressive utopia, you are as evil as the humpback little old lady in the village in the 1600s who was burned as a witch because she was different from everybody else. They believe in the global village, ladies and gentlemen. Only they don't really understand that every village has its idiot. my friend Linda said, have you noticed the kids today are so unaware of their surroundings? They're always looking at their texting. And she says she has to watch out she doesn't run over them in shopping parking lots. Oh, yeah, I've noticed. Yeah, and I've watched them. It's just, it's as if they are already plugged in to the collective. Their approach to life is so narrow. Their vision is so restricted. They are wrapped up in an artificial world that is more real to them than anything you and I accept as reality. But this is what the progressive ideology needs them to be. You can control someone if you set up an addiction in them. And our schools are addicting our children to easy answers and no responsibility. They are addicting them to professional victimhood. I deserve because I am, fill in the blank. I'm a little peculiar, as anybody who knows me can tell you, in that I use technology because it's a useful tool. I'm using it now. I had to teach myself how because these things that I'm using didn't exist when I was the age of my students. But I'm aware that technology is a tool. I don't treat it as if it were a god or the air without which I cannot live. It's convenient. It can be fun. It's very useful for learning things. It makes my life a lot easier because I don't have to go bang my clothes on a rock in the river across the street and then haul them back home and hang them from a tree and wait till they dry, which is a little hard to do right about now because the temperature is going to be 24 tonight and there are 2 or 3 inches of snow on the ground and the roads. I like the fact that I'm warm and that I can talk with a lot of people that I don't get to meet face-to-face. But I prefer actually talking to real live human beings in the same room with me. I don't know how many of you have ever read any of Isaac Asimov's robot novels. If you have, you'll probably be familiar with one called The Robots of Dawn. And it basically describes a society that has allowed itself to become distanced from other human beings, each individual communicates only via video. They don't actually remain in the close proximity of any other living thing. They're served by or serviced by robots, Asimov's robots, who abide by the 3 laws of robotics. They simply cannot comfortably be in the presence of another living creature, another human. Because that's uncomfortable. It's messy. I can't just turn a switch and shut them off if I don't like what they say. I can't change the channel and they go away. And it's this dichotomy, this turning away from personal interaction to communicating only via the internet or by texting. That is going to make them very easy to control. Because they're not going to be able to actually talk to anyone. And if they can't talk to people, other than via text or Facebook or Twitter, how are they ever going to be able to solve the problems that being a human in a human society inevitably lead to? If somebody's trying to call in, I don't know why you wouldn't be able to. I'm not seeing any callers showing up. So the only thing I can tell you, folks, is apparently Blog Talk Radio is having difficulties again. The guest call-in number is 646-378-0321. Again, that call-in number is 646-378-0321. We only have about 8 minutes left, ladies and gentlemen, so if you call and I don't get to you, please forgive me. But we've been having some difficulties, those of us who try to sign in via Skype on the studio. It's acting peculiar. I was able to get in tonight by using Skype to dial in the host number. But if I have not been able to talk to you, it's because I haven't had the call come through, folks. So I do apologize if you've been trying to reach me. But I do want you all to know that because I am a practical optimist, as frustrated and angry as I get, as royally enraged as I often get, I don't ever give up hope. Because I understand that of all human emotions, despair kills most often. If we allow ourselves to be beaten down to the point that we no longer hope to see things change, then we are doing exactly what progressives want us to do. We are lying down and letting them walk all over us. I don't believe that those of you who are listening to me out there tonight, and those of you in the chat room for sure, are people who will give in to despair. I think you will not allow yourselves to give up hope. I pray that you will not allow yourselves to give up hope. Because I do believe in the human spirit, in the nature of human beings to want to explore, to want to create, to want to build, to want to change those things that seem to them wrong. And I believe that human beings will continue to be human beings in spite of the progressives' attempt to turn them into something that we would no longer recognize as ourselves. I believe in the human spirit, ladies and gentlemen. I have a phone call coming in. Hello there.
Hey, Terry. It's Mike from the hot seat. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Mike. How are you this evening? I'm sorry you had trouble getting in.
It's BTR. I tried calling through Google. It just kept ringing incessantly. I did a refresh. Mm-hmm. The Skype button came back, so I shot it in. So before you wrap up, it's a little off topic, but I think it's important.
That's okay. We go off topic a lot around here.
Well, I'll try to be quick. I talked about this 3 years ago when I was mm-hmm. doing YouTube snippets before I got into BTR. It has to do with the Unaffordable Care Act. And I had talked about that doctors were going to segue into a concierge platform. And the reason mm-hmm. why I knew this was going to happen was because I had a cousin of mine who was much older than me. He lived in England in the 80s for a few years on business. Mm-hmm. And since we know that the ACA is after the Canadian European model, I knew this yes. was just going to happen. So he told me that if you have the cash, you're in the front of the line. So mm-hmm. fast forwarding to this morning, I get a phone call from a former doctor in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. Well, not the doctor, but one of his staff members. And she begins to tell me about this, and she used the exact words, concierge platform.
Uh-huh.
So I immediately put her on the hot seat. Oh, I grilled her, Terry. And I said, so let me get this straight. What you're saying is this concierge platform is if you have the cash, you're at the front of the line. And she was like trying to he and her. And I says, look, come on. Why don't you just tell me what this is, okay? What you're telling me is, she goes, well, you know, with the Affordable Care Act, we're going to get such an influx of more patients, which is a lie, by the way, because more people have been canceled than people that have actually signed up. So that was the lie right there. So she says, you know, and, you know, the doctor will not be able to cater to his patients like he used to, and he will not be able to offer all of the services to everybody. So I repeated the question. I said, so what you're telling me is those that have the cash will be at the front of the line and get the doctor's full attention. Well, she had no choice but to submit to me and admit to it. And the reason why I'm bringing this up now before my show Sunday is because there's people in your chat room that probably will not be at my show. So, folks, gear up. If you don't have the cash, you're not going to be treated. I'm telling you right now. And as I said all along, for 3 years, this is a program for the rich. And forget about the poor, because they're going to wave their Obama card to and fro like they waved the Medicaid cards, and they're going to find a doctor to be treated. All of us are going to be left for dead eventually. Eventually. We're going to get a major sickness that we're not going to... Oh, we'll be treated for a cold. We'll be treated for the flu. But just wait when you're a specialist. Just wait. You're not going to get one. I'm telling you right now.
Of course you're not. You're going to be in line, and unless you can jump to the head of line with a big fat wallet, you're not going to get treated. You're exactly right. That's the whole... This is part and parcel of the whole idea of subtle eugenics, Mike. You get rid of anybody who isn't quote-unquote valuable. Because if you're valuable, you've probably earned a lot of money. If you aren't valuable, you haven't. So this is a nice, compassionate way to do what Hitler and every other eugenicist wanted done.
Well, Terry, I wouldn't say being abandoned with stage 4 cancer is exactly subtle or humane. Because I know people that have died in a crap load of pain, blues, and agony. So it's not really a humane way. Now, I don't know. It might be more humane. It might be more humane to be thrown into an oven for 30 to 50 seconds than to die in agony for 6 months.
Or
so I think that's just a personal choice.
Well, I agree. You can bet because of the mandatory counseling on your choices of what you would want done or the equivalent
of the But you're not
going to
have a choice. But Terry, we're not going to have a choice.
I'm talking about what's written in the law, that doctors are supposed to counsel you on end of life decisions.
Yeah.
And that is leading up to the, oh yes, we'll just give you a nice lethal injection so you won't hurt anymore.
Yeah, but it won't even be a personal discussion because there are governmental bureaucrats like in England.
We'll decide.
The death panels will decide who gets treated. I mean, just watch episodes of House. If you watch, if you have seen episodes of House, a few of those episodes had that, where a team of doctors would get together. He's beyond repair. Forget it. Let him go. Okay, we'll take a shot on this one. I mean, show is telling you that these death panels have already been in place, but at least they were by doctors. It's going to be rolled over into government bureaucrats. It won't even be doctors. So for those of you out there that think that Obamacare, you know, and government intervention on medical services, well, you just wait, my friends, when your number is called, and I'll see how much you're going to like it. Because you don't have the cash, you're dead.
And that's the way it's going
to
be.
That's right.
You are exactly correct. Well, it's about time to close tonight. Mike, I wish you could have gotten in earlier. I would have loved to have continued our discussion.
Well, I didn't want to go off. I planned it for the intern because I didn't want to get off topic. I didn't want to steer you in another direction. So, but I wanted to share that with the people. That they might get a phone call from their doctor sometime this year and say, our plans have changed. We're going to have a concierge platform as well. So gear up for that one.
It's not at all unexpected, Mike. Not at all unexpected.
Excellent.
the difficulties we all face under the current progressive ideology and its implementation in the way our government is running things, we have to keep talking. We have to keep waking people up. And whether it's successful or not, I at least can go to sleep at night and say, wait a minute, one thing I did do today, I did speak the truth. And
yep,
that's about all I can do.
Exactly.
Because I'm just one little old lady, okay? I can't change the world by magic, but I can open my big mouth and say what I believe. So I do.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's about time to end. I hope to be back again next Thursday, providing that power and computer are both performing correctly. Thank you, Mike, for calling in. Thanks to everybody in the chat room who was with me tonight. And, Mike, when is your next show?
Well, I'm doing a special Hot Seat Sunday at 2 p.m. in lieu of, you know, everybody's in love with the big game Sunday. So, you know, you have to pick your battles. And if I did my regular time at 8 Eastern, everyone's going to be full of beer and wings. So I'm doing an early Tuesday. So I mean, early Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern time.
Well, I am a heretic. I do not watch football. Football.
You are a terrorist, Ms. Rowland.
I know.
You're a terrorist.
I know.
You watch the big globalist game, you're a terrorist.
Exactly. I ought to be taken out and shot. I don't watch football. How politically incorrect can you get?
Disgusting.
You're obviously
anti-establishment, and you are a terrorist. And a racist, by the way, because know, there are more non-whites in football pads than whites. So you're a racist and a terrorist, Ms. Rowland.
Oh, I am. Under those definitions, you're right, dear. Have a good evening, Mike.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in tonight. And please join me again next Thursday at 6 for Patriot Education. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful evening. All my love to my biggest fan.